Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the Kitab Islah al-Ibadat, Rectification of Acts of Worship. Before we continue, there was one mistake in the Kitab. So the first day we had read the rules of I'tikaf. The author had mentioned that the procedure for qadha of I'tikaf is from sunrise till sunset. This is incorrect. They'll correct it, inshallah, in the next edition. So the correct method of making qadha of sunnah i'tikaf is that for one day, from sunset till sunset, the person should remain in the masjid, and he has to fast on this day. So qadha i'tikaf is from sunset till sunset of the next day. And one of the brothers had inquired regarding repeating surah Fatiha and a surah in salah. So if in the Fard Salah, the first two rakats of a Fard Salah, if a person repeats Surah Fatiha, so he reads Surah Fatiha, immediately thereafter he repeats Surah Fatiha again, then Sajda Sahu is wajib. Because to read a Surah immediately after Surah Fatiha is wajib also. So you're delaying the wajib of reciting a Surah. But if in the second two rakats of a Fard Salah, or in any Nafil or Sunnah Salah, if one has to repeat Surah Fatiha, then Sajda Sahu won't be wajib. Won't be wajib. Only in the first two rakats of Fard Salah. If either you repeat the entire Surah Fatiha, Sajda Sahu will be wajib. Or if you repeat four ayat or more. So if you repeat three ayat, Sajda Sahu won't be wajib. So once four ayat or more of Surah Fatiha are repeated, in the first two rakats of a Fard Salah, Sajda Sahu becomes wajib. Sajda Sahu. But there's more leniency generally in Nafil. But the same rules apply. If one of the wajibat left out or its place is moved around in Salah, then Sajda Sahu will be wajib. And the method of filling a gap in Salah, so if there's an empty gap in a Saf, then the best procedure is for the person standing on either side of the gap to fill in the gap. So if there's a gap in front of us, you should try to wait a few minutes to see if one of the people next to the gap, one of the Musalli, is filling the gap. If they don't fill the gap, then the person from the back should fill the gap. And then fuqaha have two views of how many steps a person can take in Salah. So according to some fuqaha, if a person can move the extent of one saf, his Salah won't break. So if he moves to the saf in front of him, no matter how many steps he takes, the Salah will be valid. But once he moves more than one saf, then the Salah will break. Other fuqaha have the opinion that a person is allowed to take two steps only. So once you take the third step, Salah will break. So the best method is to take both views into consideration. The safest method is to take two steps and then pause with the duration of three subhanallahs, and then take another two steps. So you take two steps, pause, and then take another two steps. But this is continuously, if one moves more than one saf or more than two steps. So even if you have to move two safs forward, you take two steps, you go front, you pause, take another two steps. So like this, you can go from the back right to the front. As long as there's a pause in between, right. Salah will be
from a practical point of view, you take two steps and you go and pause for three subhanallahs, people will be wondering now, you will be starting a new saf.
You can go back also. You can move back also. If you take two steps, you'll be almost, you should be either on the saf or almost by that saf. You can take two steps. Once your wudu breaks, you say the preferable method is either hold the tissue by your nose, or someone will think maybe you've got a nosebleed or something, and once the salah breaks, salah is broken. So it's not necessary to break salah again, to make salah. You should go straight back. It's not permissible to walk in front of musallis. Imagine that causes the least inconvenience to musallis. And when joining a saf, if someone is a masbuk, if there's no one else in the saf, in the last saf, the person that's the masbuk that's joining the salah, and if someone in front of him knows, and the person, he has no hope of someone else coming after him and joining him in the saf, it's makruh tahrimi to stand alone in the saf. There's no saf if there's only one person standing. If there's someone ahead of you that knows the masla that he should come back, then you should tap him and call him back. But if no one knows the masla in front of you, in the saf ahead of you, if you tap him, you'll turn around, you'll break his salah, then you should stand alone and continue the salah. You should join the salah from the next saf. Someone there knows the masla, you could tap him and could come back. You just come back in. Preferable, the preferred method is to start the saf from the center. But if someone slightly more on the side knows the masla, then you can tap him and he can come back. You can start the salah where he is standing. So he'll also, if someone taps you from the back, the same method, you take two steps back and then you take another two steps without turning your chest away from the qibla. And for masbuk, someone who is joining the salah late, someone who missed at least one salah, one rakat with the imam. So if the imam is in ruku and you join the salah, then if you get the imam in ruku, so while the imam is in ruku, you join, you start your salah and you make a takbir, Allahu Akbar, it's not necessary to join, to fold the hands if the imam is in any other posture. So you make takbir, Allahu Akbar, you remain still for 1 second, itminan is found, and then you make another takbir and you join the imam, whichever posture he's in. So if the imam is in ruku, and you fear that if you did sana, subhanakallahumma, then you will miss, the imam will wake up from ruku. So you don't read the sana and you go straight into ruku. If the imam is in the first sajda, the same masla will apply. So if you fear that if you read sana, you will miss the first sajda with the imam. So you don't read sana and you go straight down. If the imam is in the second sajda, Fuqaha explained, then you shouldn't read sana. You start your salah, takbir, and you make a second takbir and you join the imam in the second sajda. If you start salah after the imam starts his salah, so the imam started, he's engaged in qiraat, either reading surah Fatiha or a surah, and this is a loud salah, jahri salah, then you shouldn't recite sana. You recite takbir and you remain quiet, you fold your hands and continue behind the imam. Because when the imam is reading something, or even if a person out of salah is reading Quran, it's not permissible to engage in anything else. It's necessary to remain silent and listen to the qiraat. However, if it's a silent salah and the imam is in qiyam, he's still reading surah Fatiha or surah, then it's permissible to recite that Subhanakallahumma when you start salah. Once the imam starts his qiraat, then you don't recite anything. Quran is very clear. وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا. When Quran is being read, then remain absolutely silent and pay attention. Listen very carefully. This is in salah and out of salah. When Quran is being read, so be respectful. How should a masbuk finish the remaining rakats of his salah? What should he recite? What's the procedure of completing his salah? When you miss a single rakat with the imam, you will join the imam whichever posture he's in. And once the imam makes salam, the masbuk will not make salam. When the imam makes salam, after the imam completes his second salam, then the masbuk will stand up and you will continue his salam. So if you miss one rakat with the imam, then the masbuk will stand up. In however many rakats a person misses, the masbuk will recite sana, ta'awuz and tasmiyah. Subhanakallahumma, a'udhu billah, and bismillah in the first rakat. If he misses more than one rakat, the second and third rakat will only recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And if a person misses one rakat, the masbuk misses one rakat, in this one rakat he'll read Surah Fatiha and a surah, and he'll continue, complete the salah as usual. If he misses two rakats, then he will, in the same manner he read the first rakat, he will make his ruku, sajda, and he'll stand up straight. He won't sit for qada, and he'll complete his second rakat as normal. However, if the person misses three rakats, after the first rakat, after completing the first rakat, you'll sit down in tashahud, recite tashahud. Before durud, you'll stand up and complete the next two rakats. And after the second rakat, you won't sit again in tashahud.
And when you complete the other two rakats, there's no surah.
In the first rakat and the second rakat. So if you miss one rakat, there'll be surah Fatiha and surah. You miss two rakats, there will be surah Fatiha and surah in both the rakats. In the third and fourth rakat, there's only surah Fatiha, there's no surah. In the three rakat namaz, if you miss two rakats, in Maghrib, if you miss two rakats behind the imam, this is only for three rakat salah. After the first rakat, you'll sit down in tashahud and then wake up for the second rakat. Surah, same, Surah Fatiha and Surah in both rakats. You have to cover that.
If you miss the rakat with the surah, the fatiha and the surah, you have to be in that. If you maghrib, if you join the third rakat.
If you join in the third rakat, then you complete the whole salah as normal. Or even a four rakat salah. If you miss all four rakats, then you read all four salah, all four rakats as normal. The next chapter is regarding Salah of the Sikh. As Mufti Sahib explained, under no condition Salah will be left out. As long as a person has the strength to stand up, he must stand up and perform Salah. If he doesn't have the strength to stand up, Fuqaha explained, even if a person can stand up, he can't stand on his own, he doesn't have enough strength to support himself. But if he can lean against a wall or a pillar or even a tree, then it's not permissible for him to sit and read Salah. He should lean against the wall or the pillar or the tree and he should perform his Salah. And if a person, if he cannot stand at all, then he should sit down and offer his salah. He should make his ruku while sitting. And after the ruku, for one who has the ability, it's possible for him to make sajda, then it's necessary for him to make sajda. So it won't be permissible for this person to sit on a chair and perform salah. So long as a person is able to perform sajda, he has to sit on the ground. And there's a slight difference here. For a person who is making a proper sajda, so even if he's sitting and reading salah, he's ruku, his head will be in line, come in line with his knees. If a person is only making, he's reading his salah with indications, so he's not making a full sajda, then his head doesn't need to come in line with his knees. Then he just needs to move his back forward slightly for ruku and slightly more for sajda. Okay, if you're making a full sajda, then it will be as though you're reading ruku, so you should, your head should come in line with your knees. But once you are making sajda with indication, then you're not making a full ruku. Your ruku is also being done with indication.
Sorry, that number spoke. If you forgot to wake up for your wrist rakats, you will make the first salam.
If you make, generally, if a person intentionally makes the salam, so he knows the masbuk, he knows he's not supposed to make a salam, and he still makes the salam, his salah is null and void, he has to repeat the salam. But mistakenly, generally, a person forgets he's a masbuk. By mistake, he makes salam. So generally the way we make salam is we make salam slightly after the imam. So if you make your salam before the imam or exactly with the imam, the salah is valid. But once you make salam slightly after the imam, then you need to make sajda sahu. So if you make one salam or two salams, but it's done slightly after the imam, then you make sajda sahu.
You make both salams and you still pause a few seconds in that position.
And you make sajda sahu. Sajda sahu. At the end of your salah, you make sajda sahu. So how you normally make sajda sahu? Another masla for one who is a masbuk, who missed a rakat or more with the imam. If the imam is to make sajda sahu for any reason, then the masbuk won't make salam. Before making sajda sahu, the imam makes one salam. So the masbuk won't make the salam. He'll go down, follow the imam in sajda, but he won't make a salam. Yeah, this fuqaha have two views. Some fuqaha say you stop at attahiyat. So most, I think all our muftis in South Africa, they all say you should only read till attahiyat. Mufti Mutarasab and some fuqaha explained that you should lengthen your attahiyat. So you read it slowly in such a manner that it lasts you till the imam makes his salam. You shouldn't read it too fast. But once you finish attahiyat, you remain silent. But some fuqaha do have the view that you recite, you read everything as normal, durood, dua after durood. So if a person does that, the salah will be valid. It's not makruh or anything. But the preferred method is to read till attahiyat and remain silent.
If you read after you join
it, it is not permissible to keep a pillow or any high object in order to make sajda on it. If a person is unable to make sajda, then he should make sajda through gestures. He should move his back slightly for ruku and then slightly more for sajda. If a person has the strength to stand up and offer his salah, but there is a lot of difficulty in doing so, Or if the person fears that his sickness will get worse, then also it will be permissible for him to sit down and perform his salah. Muftis Saab also explained, if you don't have the strength to sit, or it's difficult to sit, your sickness will get worse if you have to sit, then the person can lie down as well. And the preferable way is he has a pillow behind him, so his neck is slightly, his back is slightly raised, and his feet will face the Qibla and will perform his salah in this way. If he cannot raise his back also, then you should put a pillow under his head. If that is not possible, then you should sleep slight, completely flat with his feet facing the Qibla and perform his salah. And if he cannot sleep on his back, then he can either lie down on his right side or his left side facing the Qibla and perform the salah. That also will be valid. And the salah will be read by moving the head only. It will be more slightly for ruku and slightly more for sajda. If one becomes paralyzed and becomes so ill that he is unable to make istinja with water, then he should wipe himself with toilet paper or lumps of sand and offer his salah in this way. If he cannot make tayammum himself, someone else should do it for him. However, if he doesn't have the strength to even wipe himself with toilet paper or lumps of sand, then he should offer his salah in this very state and shouldn't miss any salah, because it's not permissible for someone else to look at his private parts. Another important masala, if a person missed a few salahs while he was healthy, while he was performing his salah standing, he could stand and did salah, and now he fell ill, now it's not possible for him to stand and did salah. Now he has to sit and did salah, or lie down and did salah. Then whatever qadas he had, he shouldn't delay it till I get better, then I will perform the qada. He should perform the qada in his current state. So even though the salah was made qada while the person was healthy, he's supposed to have stood and read the salah, but he can now read the salah, make qada while he's sitting or even while he's lying down. Because we have no guarantee that we will recover our strength, recover our health from this illness, and we will have another opportunity to complete the qada salah. And if the bed of his, in normal circumstances, it's not permissible to read salah on a musalla or on something which is impure, which is najis. But if a sick person's bedding, his sheet is impure, it's messed with urine, with blood, and changing the sheet will cause him much difficulty, then it will be permissible for him to perform salah on that bed. The proper method is, if you know which day the salah was made qada, then you make intention, I'm performing this salah, the zuhar salah of this particular day. But if you cannot remember which particular day, or you estimated how many qadas you have, then you make intention that I am performing the first salah of mine, which is qada, the first zuhar salah, which is qada. Likewise, you continue like that. Yes, because if you don't have count, then your next salah, which is qada, you're performing that, so you continue like that. Say if a person, if the qirat of the imam is very long, and someone is old, he is able to stand if he takes support by a wall. So even if this is taraweeh especially, if someone is old, he can perform his salah, but he finds it's a bit difficult to stand for such a lengthy period, then he should stand in front of one of the pillars and perform salah leaning against the pillar as well. And the next chapter is regarding salah on a journey. The person who sets out with the intention of traveling 78 kilometers is regarded as a musafir in the Sharia. So this is counted from the time you leave the boundaries of your city. As Muftis Saab explained, passing pavilion, it will be just after pavilion where the buildings end. Or if you're going in the other direction towards the airport, towards Tanga, after Nandi Drive, as you're going up the hill, notice the place where the buildings end. And from there you will count the 78 kilometers. So from there till the place where the next city starts, you will count this distance. A person is termed a musafir, he only has to perform two rakats for Dhuhr, Asr and Isha Salah. His Maghrib Salah will remain the same, three rakats. And as for Sunnah Salah, if a person is, while he's traveling, is on the road, or is while he is traveling, then it's not necessary for him to perform his Sunnah Salah. But if he is relaxed, once he has reached his destination, Or if he has sufficient time, then he should perform his sunnah salah. However, this concession doesn't apply for the two rakats, sunnah or fajr salah. Fuqaha mentioned that this is the most emphasized sunnah salah, is the two rakats, sunnah or fajr. So even if a person is traveling, is on the road, if he has to stop on the side of the road, generally the other sunnah salahs will not be necessary to perform. But the two rakats, sunnah or fajr, the person has to perform this. And then a common mistake a person makes while on safar, he reads the full four rakat salah. So if you read the full four rakat salah, generally a person will sit in tashahud after two rakats and then stand up. So if he had sat in tashahud and he had recited at-tahiyyat, then the salah, his salah will be valid. The first two rakats will be considered to be fard, the second two will be considered to be nafil. And because we read four rakats, you added this, you will have to make sajda sahu at the end of the salah. Or if you completed the salah and then you remembered, then you'll have to repeat the salah. But if you remembered after the salah time had ended, then it won't be necessary to repeat this first salah. Regarding the past, the best is there's probably many salahs involved. So you should find out a specific fatwa from your mufti in your individual circumstances. In a case like this, if there's many salahs involved and there is another mufti that has another view, where you think Mufti Ibrahim Desai was of the opinion, but you count from your door till the door, till where you're stopping. So in that case, mufti could consider giving you fatwa for the past on that, so your salah will be valid. But for individual circumstances, you have to find out all of them. But this is. So as long as you are following that fatwa, your salah will be valid. If a person missed a few salahs while on a journey, upon reaching home, you would only have to offer two rakats when making qadha of that dhuhr, asr and isha. You won't make qadha of the full salah, because that salah became qadha upon you as qasr, as only two rakats. So even if you are making the qadha while you're on safar, if you're making qadha, but the salah became you while you're at home, so you will make qadha of the full four rakats, even though you're making qadha while you're on safar. You're reading salah behind the imam, that's a muqim. So you go to a city, you are musafir, and you go to the masjid, then you read, as long as you're behind the imam, you read the full salah. If the imam is a musafir, and there's a jamaat, and they happen to perform salah, so the imam is a musafir, and you are muqim, you're not a musafir. So the imam will read two rakats for dhuhr, asr, isha salah. So once the imam makes salam, the imam, either before salah or after the salah, or even both, the imam will make an announcement that I'm a musafir. Whoever is a muqim must complete the salah. The witr doesn't fall off. Witr is wajib. You have to read the full witr. You read two rakats qasr of isha, and then you read three rakats witr. That's necessary. Only the sunnah salahs fall off while on safar. As long as you're sitting in the same posture, you don't do anything that will generally nullify your salah. You don't turn your chest away from Qibla, you don't speak to anyone. You can stand up and continue the salah, and you make sajda sahu. Tasbih is generally something that is read in salah, so it will be possible. Musafir will only be counted if you make intention of remaining in a city for 15 days or more. Then you'll be musafir. You'll be mukim. You won't be musafir. up till 14 days you musafir. So if you're in the boundaries of one city, you'll count the 15 days. But if you're moving Johannesburg and maybe, I'm not sure, Pretoria might be a separate city. So if you're staying 10 days here, another 10 days in another city that's close by, it's two separate cities, then you'll still remain musafir. We'll have to check with the Mufti of the area to see what's regarded as a city, what's the boundaries of a city. If some areas could be slightly out of the city, and the Mufti will say this is not part of the city. Example, 15.
You have 15 days, which is the window period, and then you're musafir.
No, if you're less than 15 days, you're musafir.
Coming close to 15 days, you decide to extend your stay.
So you count your, if you're changing your intention, you consider from the day you change your intention. Now, if you're making an intention to stay for more than 15 days, then you'll become a muqim. Then you, for more than 15 days, then you'll be a muqim. But you count from the day you're making the intention.
So in day 14, if you say I'm going to stay another 3 days, you'll still be musafir.
Still be musafir.
If you say on day 14 I'm going to stay for 15 days,
then you'll be muqim. Yeah. I've explained in Sahaba, 6 months they continued their musafir. Because an army, if you're at one place, you have to have a firm intention from the day you're making intention for 15 days. So the days of the past don't matter. So the day you're making the intention, there has to be an intention for 15 days, then you will become a muqim. As soon as, so on the way, if you're traveling more than 77 kilometers, on the journey you'll be musafir. Once you reach your destination, you're muqim. Because your intention now is to stay there for more than 15 days. Once your intention changes, no, that salah is valid. But once your intention changes, now you'll be a musafir. Umrah, you're generally reading behind the imam, so you'll read the full salah. But if you happen to, if you're on safar traveling between. Witr salah, generally if the imam is reading, Haramain, the imam generally stops after two rakats, he makes a salam. So if the imam makes a salam, you shouldn't follow the imam in witr. Or if you follow the imam, you should repeat the witr salah. If the imam is a Shafi'i or follows another madhab and he reads all three rakats without making salam, and his intention is, he doesn't, for Shafi'is, witr is sunnah, for us it's wajib. The Shafi'i madhab does not, they don't have a categorization as witr. So the safest in Haramain is to read witr on your own. So even if you're in a haram, it's difficult to come out, or if you read the witr with the imam, after the imam completes, you should repeat your witr again. There are some ulama, there were some akabir that did give jawaz permissibility for reading witr, but you should generally repeat your witr. The azan is before Zawal, but generally some portion of the khutbah is after Zawal. So the Jummah. The Jummah will be valid.
No. The Sunnah. People are reading the Sunnah before Zawal. That Sunnah won't be
kept. The Sunnah should read after, once the time comes in. So you have to repeat it after. So you read it after. So that Sunnah should be read after the Jummah Salah. Not before the khutbah, not before the azan. Yeah. Well, the imam is another very important masala. When the imam stands up for his khutbah, if the imam, as soon as he stands up, enters the masjid for his khutbah, It's not permissible to engage in any speech, to read anything. So even if someone else is talking, it's not permissible to even stop that person. But you have to remain completely silent and listen to the imam. Even, Fuqaha mentioned, even if there's some stones, a person has to touch the stones or play with your fingers. To engage in anything besides listening to the imam is not permissible. It's wajib to listen to the imam when he's giving the khutbah. Confirm that tomorrow, inshallah. While you're reading your sunnah, if you're still in your first or second rakat, then after two rakats, you should make salam and listen to the khutbah. If you're in your first rakat or second rakat, you don't continue with four rakats. If you're in your third rakat, then you have to continue and finish your fourth rakat. Okay. If you see the time, you're not going to make it to read that four rakat salah. Then you should read that four rakats later. You shouldn't miss. When you enter the masjid, for tahiyyatul masjid, you can read two rakats nafil. For tahiyyatul masjid, when a person enters the masjid, it's mustahab for him to read two rakats salah. If the namaz is almost starting, or if salah starts, any salah a person reads, even if you enter the masjid and jamaat is starting, so even if you don't make intention, tahiyyatul masjid will take place in the salah. But if you make the intention, then you'll get the reward of it. But most preferred method is to come a few minutes early and to perform the two rakats separately. No, after Asr Salah, there's no Sunnah Salah. No. You can't make Qadha of Sunnah Salah. If there's 2 minutes, you can read two rakats Tahiyyatul Masjid. Isha is a bit detailed. 4 rakats before Isha is not Sunnah. So the namaz before Isha Salah, after the Isha Azan and before the Isha first Salah, there's no Sunnah Salah. So the 4 rakats before Zuhar is Sunnah, 4 rakats before Asr is Sunnah. The 4 rakats before Isha is Mustahab, it's nothing.
Asr is Sunnah?
Asr is Sunnah. Before Isha is Nafil, Mustahab. Even if you read 2 rakat salah, the nafil will be done. You'll have tahiyyatul masjid will be done. If you read 4 rakat salah, it's 4 rakat. You'll get more thawab for that.
The asr is muakkadah or
ghayr? 4 rakats before zahar, 2 rakats after zahar, 2 rakats before fajr, and then after isha salah, and after maghrib is muakkadah. Nafil, you can make as many, more intentions you make, the more thawab you get. You can make intention, salat or shukr. As many intentions as you need, you can make for Nafil salah. After the witr. Masla, we're discussing if the imam is a musafir, imam is reading 2 rakat salah for zuhar, for asr, or for isha, and you are muqim, you're standing behind the imam, then the imam will make an announcement that I'm a musafir, so whoever is not a musafir should complete his salah. So the person who is a muqim, the muqtadi, that's a muqim, and the imam makes salam, you won't make salam with the imam. You'll stand up, you'll be a lahik, you'll stand up to read the 2 rakats. But in these 2 rakats, you'll remain silent for the period it takes to recite Surah Fatiha. So you won't recite Surah Fatiha. You'll remain silent for the period it takes to recite Surah Fatiha in both the rakats. And the rest of the salah you perform as usual.
So there'll be no
qirat, no Surah Fatiha, no Surah. So when the Imam is a Musafir and the Muqtadi is a Muqim, so you're reading full Salah, Imam is a Musafir. When the Imam completes his Salah, you won't make Salam. And in the remaining two Salahs, when you stand up to complete the remaining two Rakats, you'll remain silent for the duration it takes to recite Surah Fatiha. As I mentioned, there was some of our akabir also. There are some muftis currently also that give permission to read with her behind the imam. But the preferred view of Hanafi mazhab is you don't. So there were some ulama that have that view. But the preferred view of the mazhab, Darul Ifta also, Hazadwal Darul Ifta, Mufti Mutara sahab is you repeat your witr. Either you read your witr alone, or if you happen to read the witr with the imam, you repeat your witr. As you mentioned, there were some of our akabir, some current day muftis that do hold the view that you can read behind them. According to those muftis, the salah is valid. And according to us, the salah is. Firstly, the imam is reading, according to him, witr is sunnah. So if he's making intention that I'm reading a sunnah salah, we can't read wajib behind the imam that makes intention for sunnah. Say the imam. So if the imam is reading two rakats, tarawih salah, and a musafir comes here, he can't make intention, I'm reading a far salah behind the imam, because the imam is reading a nafil salah, sunnah salah. So likewise, we're reading a wajib salah, with that is wajib for us. And for the imam, if he makes an intention that I'm reading a sunnah with that, so the intentions, imam is reading sunnah, it's not permissible. And then in the Hanafi madhab, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil butayra. Nabi Islam prohibited from reading one rakat salah. So salah has to be at least two rakats. And if the imam makes salam after two rakats, and then he's reading a separate one rakat salah. In the Hanafi madhab, there's no one rakat salah. Detail regarding that, we'll discuss that tomorrow inshallah. Depending when you remember, and we'll discuss that tomorrow inshallah.